go ahead, roll call.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem, excuse me, Vice Chairman Ramirez?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Shaver?
Here, thank you. Madam Attorney, do we have anything to report out of our closed session?
Thank you, Mayor and Council, there's nothing to report.
Okay. Are we gonna do the pledge again?
Got a new audience here. It's technically a new meeting.
All right, everybody up, please. Okay, our esteemed city manager, you're on.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, special presentations and awards. Again, we have the pleasure of the Townsend Public Affairs, which will give us our state and federal legislative report and update.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Eric O'Donnell with Townsend Public Affairs. Honored to be here again tonight with you. Give you a brief state and federal update about the happenings right now. I'm gonna start with Sacramento. Last week was the suspense file hearing that I talked about last time, which is where a lot of kind of purgatory politically for a lot of bills that have a cost to the state. So nearly 1,000 bills were heard in the both the Senate and the Assembly Committee combined last Thursday. It takes about a couple hours to go through those 1,000 bills and determine their fate. About 23% of them failed to pass. That's roughly, roughly a quarter, and that's due to the cost that those bills had on the state, and that's the power of the Appropriations Committee and the Appropriations Chairs to be able to hold the bills there indefinitely, which effectively kills them for the year. So 29% of those were actually in the Assembly, 13% of those were in the Senate. Kind of interesting, those numbers are usually closer together than that. So it leads me to believe that there was a lot of maybe more statement bills in the Assembly, maybe more bills that didn't have the chops compared to the Senate that got held. So right now what we're doing after that, we are moving now to floor session only this week. All bills have to be passed off their first house floors by the end of this week. Then they will move over to their second house and start all over again in the process when it comes to policy committees, appropriations, and then floor again. So as a reminder, in the middle of all this, the budget is still going on and being negotiated, and that needs to be passed by June 15th if the legislature wants to continue to get paid. So I will tell you that it will be passed by June 15th. A couple weeks ago on the budget, the May revise, which we also talked about a couple weeks ago, did get released and come out. I'm sure you've probably seen it on the news. But our operating surplus, key distinction there, is about $97 billion. The total budget in California is going to be over $300 billion for its first time ever. Those are truly staggering numbers. However, I want to be very clear about what operating budget means versus what discretionary budget means. Out of that $97 billion, $49 billion of it is discretionary. So between those two numbers, a lot of automatic triggers and automatic funding sources happen due to our Constitution and where our money has to go. So $23.5 million of that 97 has to go to the Rainy Day Fund. That was passed by Proposition 1 by the voters several years ago on a percentage basis. $9.5 million of that has to go to the School Stabilization Fund. That's the Prop 98 that dictates where our extra money goes toward schools. And then several other billion of it will have to go toward operating reserves and safety net reserves in order to protect the state from any sort of revenue downfalls during the budget year. So that leaves about $49 billion. What do we do with that? That's what the governor and the legislature have to determine in the next couple weeks. I will say that in the May revise was a proposal. Several proposals have how to spend that money. The first one being $9.5 billion for climate resiliency. It's probably one of the largest investments that the governor has proposed to date when it comes to climate resiliency. Included in that is $1.3 billion for additional drought regulations and drought projects. Right now we are in the midst of a pretty bad drought. State Water Board just today implemented a level 2 shortage for urban water suppliers. As well as more resources for homelessness, public safety, and infrastructure, kind of run-of-the-mill increases across the board. And then the big one is $18.1 billion for an inflation package. And so what is an inflation package? I'll get into it right now. But the inflation package is a combination of proposals from the governor's office, the biggest one being tax refunds of $400 to each Californian who owns a vehicle. That's based on the rise of gas price, gas tax increases and gas tax prices. That's part of their way to get around the GAM limit, how much they have to spend on each per person. Emergency rental assistance, $2.7 billion of that $18.1 for people that continue to struggle paying their rent. $1.4 billion for increases in utility bills to help folks pay their utility bills, both gas, water, and power. And then, probably seen it in the news as well, but healthcare stipends for nurses that were working during the pandemic, free public transit for a limited period of time, and suspending the diesel tax for 12 months. Not the gas tax, just the diesel tax. So that $18.1 billion inflation package pays for all of that, and that's part of the governor's May revised proposal. A couple other policy proposals I wanted to let you know. The Brown Act bills we've talked about in the past, specifically AB 1944 and AB 2449, which would change how local governments are able to meet in a post-pandemic, post-AB 361 world. Essentially, it gives the flexibility if local governments did want to meet remotely or have a hybrid approach to meeting. They are able to do that without having to give out their personal address or where they're going to be meeting from, which is kind of the big linchpin of why it's not being done right now. It's kind of a breach of privacy in a modern time where you have to give out your address for the public to be able to participate wherever you are remotely. It doesn't really make sense right now in our world with technology. So that would remove those provisions, but would have transparency provisions to require you to have two-way communication with the public during that. Basically, if one of your council members or board members will be absent and doing it remotely, the public has to have the option to also be remote during that. Those bills both passed their policy committees. They're very similar to each other, so there will need to be amendments or there will need to be merged into one eventually, but right now they're both on the assembly floor and should be voted on this week. CARE Court amendments, we've talked about the CARE Court last time, one of the governor's biggest priorities this year, which is the changes to how the state addresses mental health and individuals who are unable to take care of themselves. There were some amendments to that bill, SB 1338 by Senator Umberg from Orange County, that would require, or that would change the criteria for admission of when people can be admitted, change who can admit them and who can recommend them for admittance, and then expand the type of care providers who are involved or developing the treatment plan. So technical amendments and improvements along the board, but really more detailed amendments in terms of CARE Court. AB 2011 by Assemblymember Wicks, we've talked about this bill last time as well. This is the bill that would mandate a ministerial review and by right housing for 100% affordable housing in commercial and retail zone. So it's another attempt by Sacramento to kind of go into the zones that are not residential to be able to build more housing to address our crisis. That bill did pass the assembly floor, so it is in its second house already. The author is considering amendments specific to exemptions and buffer zones for when and where these specific development projects can be ministerially reviewed. But really, there's going to be stronger, what we're hearing is there's going to be stronger protections for industrial zoned areas to make sure that there's no housing projects in industrial areas, just in the commercial and retail, and then help exclude areas that have previously adopted specific planned areas that do not include housing. So imagine council adopted a specific plan that did not include housing. This bill would not allow housing in that area. It would respect that specific plan that you have passed. However, any future specific plans that you pass that also do not include housing in a zone have to upzone elsewhere to make up for that lost housing. So kind of a catch-22, it's an amendment that I think we saw coming, but at the same time doesn't address everyone's concerns. There's still several significant parties in opposition, including the League of California Cities. And then finally, I'll end with, on the state side, the Taxpayer Protection and Government Accountability Act. We've actually talked about this maybe a couple months ago, but this is a ballot measure that was being run gathering signatures in California that would have been pretty bad for cities, that would have had stricter rules for raising, for cities to be able to raise fees and raise taxes, local assessments on the public. The biggest issue with it is that it would have new interpretations of burden of proof language for cities to be able to prove that your fees are not exceeding the cost of what you're asking for the fees. It would have, we think it would have opened up your fee schedule all of them to legal, the litigation to determine city's burden to determine that you're collecting not too much for the cost provided. This ballot measure has been pulled from consideration by the proponents. They did not get enough signatures and they saw it coming. So they are now indicating they are going to try for the 2024 ballot, but for now this will not be on the 2024. And then finally, on the federal side, this is the same. This is the same slide you saw last time. We have submitted requests for the Harry M. Dodson Park and the Rails to Trails projects to your three representatives in D.C. Unfortunately, Congressman Lowenthal did not choose either of the projects in his 15 projects that he was able to request this year. I will remind you that Congressman Lowenthal was able to secure the Orangewood Parkette last year as one of his requests. It's very likely that in his last term, he's trying to spread around and give other people a chance to secure that federal funding. Nevertheless, it is a bummer. However, Senator Feinstein and Senator Padilla still have yet to release their list, so we're hopeful and advocating for one or both of these projects to be included in their list when they do come out, probably in, I would say, mid to late June. We'll see those. However, the North Orange County Public Safety Collaborative did get included in Congresswoman Kim's list for another $5 million again. So $5 million was secured last year, as you know. So that is part of her request this year, again, for an additional $5 million. So that is good news that the city is involved with. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Just a quick question. By chance, is any of that $49 million
of discretionary surplus being used to help people? So that is, the answer is no, but that is one of the main requests of the League of California Cities this year. So they usually have 2 to 3 bullet points that they're asking for from the state whenever we see these surplus numbers. One of the biggest ones is unfunded Band-Aids, and I think it's almost a billion that they're requesting for local government unfunded Band-Aids since 2004, I think, 2004 or 2005. I've been in meetings where that's been pitched. I've talked to the speaker's office about it several times. Frankly, I'm not optimistic that that's gonna happen with this money. It's not really a winner issue, if that makes sense, politically for them. There is no political win in that, into funding unfunded mandates to local governments. So I think it's a really tough issue to be able to get around. I think everyone understands that there's $1 billion in unfunded mandates, and I've seen your list of your unfunded mandates. It's not significant, but I think it's very difficult to convince powers that be that that is the appropriate way to use the money, as opposed to, you know, maybe something that's a little bit more public, a little bit more exciting.
Anyone else?
Slide number 3 real quick. Please.
Number 3?
Yes, please.
Mayor, I just want to say that the finance department is soliciting quotes for our consultant to prepare our state mandated claims for the next fiscal year, and the consultant said that out of that $1 billion, our share is about $1.4 million that hasn't been reimbursed, just so you know.
The $9.5 billion, that particular box, how is that sliced? What's the majority of it? Thank you.
So that $9.5 that I said is sliced through the drought. Like I said, the $1.3 billion through the drought. It's also done through other wildfire resilience type projects, crews for cleaning brush, equipment for the firefighters and CAL FIRE, electricity reliability reserve money to help the electricity transmission and hardening our electrical grid to prevent forest fires that way. And then I'm happy to send you the rest of it. I think I need to find the rest of it, but that's the majority of that 9.5.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Eric, thank you very much as always.
Yeah. Nice work. Thank you.
Okay, that ends our special presentations and awards. We'll move on to the consent calendar. All items can be taken in a simultaneous motion at this time. Do we have any requests from the audience or the public or anything in the mail?
No, Mr. Mayor, we have none.
Okay, is there a motion? We're looking at A through F.
Make a motion.
Second.
Roll call, Madam Clerk.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez, a second by Councilmember Van. I will now proceed with roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes. 9F, this is approval of professional service agreement with the Citywide Parks Master Plan Appropriation Funds. Did I skip one?
That's consent.
Yeah, that's part of consent, Mr. Mayor.
Move to 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have no public hearings. We have no unfinished business. We have no new business. At this time, the public may address the City Council on any items within our jurisdiction, provided that no action can be taken on non-agendized items. Is there anyone wishing to speak from the audience? Okay, I will then close public hearing, move it back, written communications, we have none. Mayor, council, agency initiated business. Committee reports, council agency announcements. Okay, council agency items for future meeting. Council agency for a future study session. Items from the city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor. I have none.
Items from the city manager.
Thank you. One quick reminder, it is Memorial Weekend. So in the city, that means that our splash pads will be opening up this Saturday, Dawson Park and Stanton Central Park, 11 to 5, all through the summer through Labor Day.
The drought doesn't affect that.
What's that?
Our drought doesn't affect that.
Circulating.
I agree. Just wondering. Okay.
Do you want to also give us an update on your art thing? I think that was pretty successful.
Sure. Right? Yes. Thank you, Mayor, and thank you to the council for your support. We held our second annual art exhibit this past Saturday at Stanton Central Park. We had about 70 entries, adult category, teen, and youth. The judges had quite a difficult decision in picking their top three winners. We also added an honorable mention. We have a variety of photos to display, but I do want to appreciate the support from the Lions Club and the Youth Assistance Foundation to support us in those awards, and we're looking to expand and grow and tie this into other projects like the utility art boxes and really support the local artists in the community. Thank you.
And also, I want to thank the city for the support they gave for our food drive that we had last Saturday. I think we broke our record. We always try to do that. We actually serviced 600 cars and about 2,400 people. So it was very successful. Again, I want to thank the Boy Scouts and the local volunteer groups for helping, and the city for providing us the ability to have it and host it. Now we'll go to 12A. This is the Orange County Sheriff's Department report, please.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. I'll be covering April's statistical data for Stanton Police Services. In April, Stanton deputies responded to 1,769 calls for service. Deputies made 50 arrests, issued 53 criminal citations, and our gang enforcement detail arrested 3 documented gang members. Our Stanton Motor deputy issued 163 traffic citations, and overall deputies issued 13 municipal code citations, and this was 5 for public nudity, trespassing, illegal camping, public urination, and shopping cart possession. Throughout the month of April, our human trafficking vice detail made 5 arrests for prostitution, 3 arrests for pimps, and they were actively doing random checks at our massage parlor and issued a citation as well. As far as our community engagement, on April 28th, we did a neighborhood watch meeting with the Western Meadows, Sunshine Village, and the Bradford Place. Councilmember Taylor was present for that. It was, again, well received. The public was glad to see us and engage with us. We also did, we attended a Boys and Girls Club teen night / leadership night. So we took part in that. And again, it was well received. We were glad to be a part of that as well. And on May 4th, we collaborated with Union Pacific Railroad and did a railroad track cleanup. This will conclude my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, before I adjourn, I have a presentation that I'm going to be making. so if you'll just bear with me. Many times with large organizations, the individuals in that organization get reassigned. And so tonight, I'm going to announce that one of our leaders in our community, our chief, Alde, has been reassigned. And before he leaves us, I want to go over and, first of all, present this certificate from all of us and from the community, and then get a chance to say a few words. This is a certificate of recognition presented to Captain Cruz Alde. The City Council and the City of Stanton and its residents do hereby officially commend and thank Stanton's Orange County Sheriff Deputy Captain Cruz Alde for his unselfish devotion and commitment to protecting and serving the citizens of Stanton. It is fitting that we join in the celebration of accomplishment and recognition of Captain Cruz Alde, who has consistently proven to be an active and valuable member of our community. The City Council does hereby vulnerably recognize Captain Cruz Alde in extending him our sincerest appreciation for the invaluable contributions to the city and to our residents, with our gratitude and respect with him. This certificate is presented as an enduring memento of gratitude and appreciation, signed by myself and on behalf of my council. Chief, would you please come up and receive this? If you'll join me at the diet. At this time, I'll give the council if they'd like to make any comments. Gary, you get to go first because you're at the end.
Yes, Chief Alde, thank you so much for all your service to the community. I thoroughly enjoyed working with you, and I enjoyed you setting me up with the ride-along with Deputy Hicks. I had a great time, and the meetings that we've attended, I've learned an awful lot. So thank you for all the service to our community.
That COVID had to raise its ugly head right after you came into Stanton, because since the COVID crisis has been over, you've done some wonderful community outreach. I enjoyed the Cross Point presentations you did. I think the residents had a great time and learned a lot. So I want to thank you for doing as much as you could after the COVID crisis locked us down for so many years. So thank you very much. You've been a great asset to Stanton.
I remember our interview quite some time ago when we first had yes, so impressed. The last time I had outreach, I remembered how well you. I would feel saddened that now that you're best for.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, and thank you for the heavy lifting. This city's challenging but rewarding. a lot of moving parts. I appreciate the collaboration, the leadership, just the amplifying of our message of community pride and forward vision. I know it's hard to do, but you did it day in and day out. And for that, I thank you. Of course, best of luck.
Chief, you are an honorable and probably a very caring individual, and that is shown through how you sheltered and took care of our community the time that you were here. There was always the community first and you second. And the things that you've done have made a remarkable change in many of the different areas that we are being very successful at. Whatever your future bears, you will be a success. And on behalf, again, of my council and my entire community, our business community, I want to thank you for the time and the effort and energy that you put into our community. Thank you, sir. Is there any other business before the council? Okay, we'll see you all at 8:30 in the morning.